Blog Talk Radio.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
All right. This is Ignacio Sorricio on Stardish Radio. Stay tuned. And now we got to do the Spanish version. Wait, how do you say it in Spanish? Okay, gotcha. I'm just kidding. Para toda mi gente latina, hispana, esto es Stardish Radio. Acá Ignacio Sorricio, les mando un abrazo. Cuídense, que Dios los bendiga. Chao.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is Friday, January 9th, 2009. I kept saying 8, it's 2009. I am so happy to do this weekly wrap-up with you guys. I'm also happy to announce that there will be a show on Monday with Ms. Kimberly McCullough from General Hospital, who plays Robin Scorpio. We all know her. And some other things are in the works. So, again, stay tuned to the website because I will be sending out a mass email once the schedule changes. So that's that. So I'm going to bring on Mr. Tony. Hey, Tony. You know what? I think there's something wrong with the switchboard. Tony, are you there? Technical difficulties. Wait a minute. Let's see what's happening. All right, I'm going to try this again. Tony, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, finally.
There we go.
Oh, no,
gremlins are running loose again.
Well,
we got rid of that problem in 2008. They're back in 2009.
Well, you know what? I think because they redid the entire Blog Talk website, you know, they did a lot of renovations to it. So there's been little issues here and there and little bugs that still have to be worked out. But, you know, all in all, they'll get it settled. They'll get it settled.
Yeah,
so
eventually.
How about
that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, how about that? Kimberly McCullough on Stardish Radio on Monday.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's one of my people on my wish list. I've been wanting to have on for a long time.
I know. So this should be really cool. And I have to say and send a big shout out to Bob, Guinea, and Barb because Barb and Bob actually did the setting up of Kimberly coming on the show, so I'm real happy about that.
Yeah,
nice to have friends in powerful places.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We're all family here, one way or another, family.
This is true. So, you know, I've got some stuff to talk about besides our little recap. And you know me, of course I didn't finish watching all my soaps. I actually was just watching Friday's GH. Ugh, wow. I mean, I think I'm like maybe halfway through it. I'm not sure. But I'm not going to put the brakes on talking about it, though. So we can definitely talk about everything this week. And I know you're caught up, so. There's a few things, though. I'm going through my ABC paperwork here. Not Gossip Girl. No. There's something about, for SoapNet, this is what I'm looking for. Where is it? Ah, here we go. SoapNet. SoapNet is putting on this sugar-free Valentine's running from January 4th through February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to announce that some people may not know is that there are going to be episodes airing We Heart Kendall. SoapNet celebrates All My Children's Kendall Heart with a marathon of favorite episodes airing February 7th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. as part of SoapNet's six-week sugar-free Valentine's programming. So anybody else that I find out about, I'll announce. But just so everybody knows the list of episodes that it will be, it will be one episode that was originally aired on January 9th, 2002, where newly returned to town and clad in a towel, Kendall spars with her new neighbor, Ryan. Then, much to her delight, her mother, Erica, is carted off by police for violating her bail zone when she comes to talk to Kendall. So, obviously, this would probably be Alicia Minshew's first appearance, you know what I mean, back
yeah,
in town.
Yeah, I know what I mean. Yeah, in fact, Joanne, today, well, actually tomorrow is a Saturday, but she, and January 9th, you just mentioned it, because tomorrow, well, actually, tomorrow is her 7th anniversary of All My Children.
Okay.
That's the day she debuted, January 9th.
Okay, so, all right, so that'll be the first episode to air, and then the second episode to air will be, the original air date was November 14th, 2003. Bianca and Ryan are incredulous at Kendall's announcement that she's pregnant. Later, an emotional Kendall explains to Bianca why she's lying. So that was a definitely good episode and, you know, definitely worth a repeat and watching again.
Oh, yeah.
Then the third episode will be August 15, 2005, where Kendall offers to be the surrogate for Greenlee. And then the last episode to air, original air date was December 15, 2005, where love and romance are in the air as Kendall and Zach prepare to divorce. So those are all great episodes starring Alicia Minshew, and so we'll definitely make sure you check that out. That is February 7th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on SoapNet. So any other ones that come across my desk, I will definitely let everybody know. Also, SoapNet is celebrating the Valentine's season, featuring the six-week programming dedicated to all the fun of Valentine's Day without all the mushy stuff. The event will incorporate romance-themed entertainment, including the new original series, Greg Barron's Wake Up Call, hosted by Greg Barron, author of He's Just Not That Into You. Now, I did not know that Greg was actually a consultant on Sex and the City. So that was a little tidbit I did not know about. So there is a contest on SoapNet. If you go to SoapNet.com, you can enter. It is called, also included in the virtual boyfriend contest. So if you go to SoapNet.com, you'll find out more details about that contest and how to enter and what your prize will be. So that that's the latest from SoapNet. And just so everybody knows that, on the 20th, during January 20th, the inauguration of our next president, there will be absolutely no soaps playing on ABC. They'll be doing full coverage of the inauguration. So that's that on that. Okay.
Hey, Joanne, before we continue, I want to continue touching on really quickly about the sugar-free Valentine stuff that's
absolutely
going on.
Absolutely.
SoapNet. But SoapNet.com right now is also, if you go to SoapNet.com, they also have two Valentine karaoke type videos going on.
Well, they're hysterical, aren't they?
Yes, they're hysterical, yes. And it's from two classic 70s love songs from classic TV shows, The Partridge Family and Sonny and Cher.
Yes.
When I Think I Love You and I Got You, Babe. No, and I'm not referring to Babe Carrie Chandler either, okay?
Oh, gosh, no. But, yeah, they're hysterical videos. So if you guys didn't see them on, I mean, and they're airing little pieces of them on SoapNet.com in between the soaps and commercials and stuff like that. And they're really funny, but to watch them in full feature, you can go to SoapNet.com and see them. They're hysterical. I mean, it's such a candid candid video of them, you know. It wasn't edited. It wasn't planned. It was just this was done at Super Soap Weekend, and they kind of just pulled them in between their autograph sessions and was like, okay, let's do this thing. So, you know, there's no rehearsal there, so it's really, really funny. Let's see real quick. Now, did you watch – True Beauty?
I missed it. I'm going to watch it over the weekend and look at it, but I heard there's good reviews about that show.
You know what? I think it's hysterical. So, all right, so we won't touch on that one, but just for those that are listening, which I have to say there are not many, I'm a little disappointed at the turnout tonight, but True Beauty is a reality show on ABC, which debuted last Monday, the 5th, and it runs from 10 to 11 p.m. right after The Bachelor. And it's created by Ashton Kutcher and Tyra Banks, and it's all about someone being beautiful, yes, on the outside, but these people are so damn conceited.
Same.
They honestly think that the world revolves around them because of their looks. And during last week's episode, Vanessa Minnillo is the host with Cheryl Teagues and Nolay Marin from Cheryl Teagues, everybody knows, and Nolay Marin was on, help me out here.
Project
Runway? The show. The model show. Okay. Next Top Model. Okay.
Next Top Model.
I couldn't get it out. So, so those are the judges, and they're being judged on their beauty, yes, but they are also being judged on their inner beauty, and they were put to some tasks last week that showed some true colors. And the one girl that did get eliminated, Hadiala Saeed is her name, from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. She was the first person eliminated, and she was eliminated due to the fact that they put her to a test it was a toss-up between her and another girl, because the both of them had absolutely reprehensible behavior when it came to their inner beauty. And they put them to a test as they were on their way to the elimination. They set up this coffee guy, and they said, okay, now let's see if, we're going to send in this actor who's carrying way too many, boxes of coffee. Let's see if they'll help him open the door. And the one girl did and opened the door and held it open for him, but this young girl here did not. So they went through all of her things, and, she opened the door for herself, walked in, and let the door shut on the guy. So that's why she ultimately got eliminated. That's how they made the choice. And next week's episode, the challenge will be for them to secretly test the remaining contestants on charitable character. They're divided into three teams of three and will go shopping for $1 million look on Melrose Avenue. And that's their delight, to go spend so much money. One lady said that she had brought over $200,000 worth of clothes. And, mm-hmm. Because one dress would cost $300,000, or $30,000 rather, whatever. So they love to shop and wear expensive clothes. So the trick about this week's challenge will be they'll have to be on Melrose Avenue to shop, but they'll only have $100 to spend on their outfits. They can beg, borrow, and use their good looks to help them obtain more clothes, but they're only getting $100. And as the teams use their charm and look to make the deals, some are more honest than others with the judges, watching everything from the spy room. Also, while shopping on Melrose Avenue, each team will encounter a woman on the street in a booth asking for donations to a children's charity. So whoever stops and gives is going to be judged as well. So the winner of the challenge will receive a $5,000 shopping spree. So we'll see what happens with that. It's a good show. I really like it. It's definitely a good show. I think it's, I like Ashton Kutcher's work,
Yeah.
So we have some callers to join us. So I think we should start off. Okay, Georgette is on the line. Hello, Georgette. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Hello, I just called to see what was going on.
We're just doing a wrap up of the soaps, in the week of TV and stuff like that. Kimberly McCullough is coming on the show on Monday.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're just, doing a little wrap up, and we're getting ready to start. So I'm going to start bringing some people on the line and seeing who we got. Okay.
I actually watched today's One Life to Live.
Because right. Scotty Clifton's debut, right?
Okay. Wait. Don't start yet, because I didn't see it yet, even though we're still going to talk about it, but I don't want to start with that yet this week. Area code 201.
Hi, Joanne. Tony Ann.
Hey, Tony Ann. How are you?
Say something again.
I'm going to have to turn down my speakers because they're blasting
at
me.
I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah, they're blasting. Yeah, if
okay.
you could call in and get some words in on this week's shows and the reality shows, because as I told you yesterday when I spoke to you on AIM, to me they seem to just have taken over TV.
They have. All right,
like,
we'll
I can't
get to that
go to my channels and find something that's reality TV.
You can't. Reality is the television today. So hang on a second. And then we have area code 281. Hi, who's this?
281.
Hello? Hello? 281.
Hello?
All right. I guess they don't want to talk, so I'm just going to put them back on hold. And hello? Last chance. Okay. We'll just put them, maybe they just want to listen. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. And then, of course, we have Rita. Hi, Rita.
Oh, hi, Joanne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
I have an apology that I read today that I need to tell you from Alicia Minshew. I just read it today, so I get the ones that they come out sort of a week in advance. She's apologizing for not being on the cruise because gave her time for her honeymoon, and
mm-hmm.
she has to catch up on because they want her out of a coma. They don't know when she's going to be out of the coma, she's apologizing.
Okay. All right.
But
yeah,
I have a concern I need your help on.
Okay.
January 15th. Oh, okay.
Just hang on one second. I want to start with all my children. So, Tony, let's start with all my children.
Yes.
I watched the entire week of All My Children, and the points that I want to touch on are Bianca, Reese, and Zach. You know, not for nothing. You would think between all of these ABC shows, they can actually use a different name that has not been used yet. Reese was already used on General Hospital. They should have found a different name.
Yeah,
you know. So I want to touch on all the characters because they showed pretty much everybody this week. And it was actually not too terrible to watch. The one storyline that I'm disappointed in and the episodes that I saw this week were between JR and Amanda. I don't like the fact that Amanda became his bed buddy again. I really thought that they were going to kind of steer Amanda out of that sense and that she was really going to sink her teeth into getting revenge on him for the way that he spoke, but she kind of fell into this little soft, you know, soft person and then she ends up sleeping with him. She regrets getting him hooked back on the booze, and now she's sleeping with JR again, and even though it was only the one time, the fact that it happened, you know, and she's being labeled the slut of Pine Valley, I don't see how that's making her character different, as Charles Pratt said it would be, you know, when he was talking about writing for Amanda. You know, he's not doing anything different from her. I mean, he said that she wasn't going to come out of it the same, but I don't see how.
Well, you know what Amanda is. She's been in a very dark place since she lost her millions, and she got in hooks with David Haywood trying to set up JR for take the fall, you know, to take the fall, get rid of him, get back him, lose his sobriety, lose his vanity, eventually lose his son and everything. And now she has this all stuff saying, I took it too far. Maybe I took it too far now. And then by the time, that was already been done. JR, once he started drinking, it was hard for him to stop. It's hard for him to stop. And Amanda should have known that long before that.
And she just let it go
because David wanted to destroy him because he thinks he destroyed Babe. So he wants to destroy him.
Right.
And take his son. That's all that is. And Amanda was helping David because she wanted to get back at Adam for ruining her.
But not just to back at Adam, it was to get back at JR too, because she heard JR speaking about her in a not so hot way. You know, he was talking smack about her, and she wanted to, you know, say some things about, you know, and that's why she did it. But now they got her turning back into this soft little shell, you know, girl, like, oh, God, and now she's back in somebody's bed. And I really thought that they were going to kind of take her out of that, you know, character where she's sleeping with everybody, you know?
Well, that's what I was hoping, too. I was really hoping, too, that because, you know, we had all the stories with Amanda, with the story with Jake and everything else. But when she started taking it back to David, and it just pretty much, to how independent she was and how winning she was, but then she put it back to being the vixen
mm-hmm.
again, basically the flood
right.
of the vixen. We can basically, and doing dirty work for David Haywood. Now she feels sorry that she did. I think it's a little too late for that.
It is too late, but you know what? I wish they didn't make her feel sorry. You know what I'm saying? I wish they would have made her the bitch. I wish they would have made her the one to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, do it and not regret it. Like, give her some, make her bad. It's fun to play bad. She wanted to play a bad girl, you know, when we spoke to Chris Shalish. That's what she wanted. She wanted to do something different. And I just don't see them doing anything different with her. So that's my thoughts on that. Tony Ann, did you watch All My Children?
Yes, I did. I watched it all week. And
okay,
I'm
so what do you think about that?
I'm actually disappointed because, like you said, with Chriselle, I think she just as an actress deserves better than to have the same old story and to have her character labeled the way she is.
Mm-hmm. Now, Georgette, you don't really watch All My Children, but you know the storyline with Chriselle and all that. What do you think about that?
I think Chriselle deserves better than that. They need to pair her with someone totally new and get over this whole... Let's have Chriselle have sloppy seconds with everybody else. She needs to get her own man. Give her someone who loves her.
Drunk sex with JR.
Amanda. We'll get Amanda and JR. Get off that all, oh, that's sex, that's sexy. Just have a real relationship for a change. That's what
exactly.
She's talking about, right?
And I thought they were going to do that with Jake. That would have been nice. And, you know, let me see what Rita says about Amanda's character. Go ahead, Rita.
They're saying on January 16th, my mother's birthday, strange, that she takes a pregnancy test and gets the shocking news on the 19th. And you could certainly see
right.
where that story can be. It can almost reverse everything because
okay,
it can either make JR or break him or make him or redeem him because she's pregnant. So
right,
maybe they're not going to make her out to be the slut. Well, yes, she will be considered the slut, but she'll also be an heiress.
Yeah, but the trick of that is that was coming up in the spoilers. The trick of that is that she's not going to know who the father is to that baby.
Take your pick on who the father is.
Yeah, let's not get into the spoilers right now. We're just going to do this week. all right, hang on. Okay, so now David and Crystal, he's getting her hooked on pills. They're supposed to be anxiety pills. But what I'm having trouble with is we all know what David Haver is capable of with the libido zone and all that other crap. We don't know what kind of drug he's giving her, but whatever he's giving her is hooking. She's getting hooked on, and she's starting to feel these feelings that she doesn't even want to be around Tad. She had no concern over the fact that he was gone and missing over the holidays or whatever the case is, forever how long it was. And now she knows he's coming home, and she was, like, not the least bit whatever. It was just kind of like blah, blah, blah. Now, the thing I have about that is Crystal never really liked Tad the way that Tad liked her in the beginning. When she first came on the show, Tad was extremely intrigued with her. She really had no use for him. She was all about the bling bling and the money. She wanted the Chandler thing. She got it. And Tad was nothing but an affair to her, which resulted in a pregnancy. And she moved in with him because of the whole Adam thing. And all of a sudden they were married and they were, I mean, it was they never really declared so their love for each other. You know, Tad did, but Crystal, she said, I love you, and I remember they had the talk, and they had a talk about their marriage or whatever. You know, they had that talk, but she never was into him, and that baby did not make her magically fall in love with Tad.
No.
So now whatever this drug he's giving her is either making her want him, it could be another whole the Labiazone thing, because I don't think it's anxiety drugs that he's giving her at all.
No.
And I still do believe that he's behind the whole Scary Annie thing. So he's definitely got an agenda, and it's not just to take away the Chandler stuff or the Martins. He's out to destroy everybody, period. But there's something going on with Annie, too. I'm not sure what yet, but I'm not feeling the whole Tad Crystal thing. They really never had any chemistry anyway. But I think David and Crystal would make a good pairing.
Yeah, most people,
it was done the right way.
Yeah, most people sound like it would. It sounds like it's the same way most people are leaning towards, because Crystal and Tasman can kind of, you know, getting stale lately in some sorts, and they will want to try to put Crystal back with David. But yeah, you're right, Joanne. The drugs that David's been giving Crystal, yeah, it definitely ain't no anxiety drugs. It's some kind of mind control thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Doctor Doom. He's always got these hypnotic type things, you know, these weird drugs that he has to control people's minds. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing with Crystal here. He's trying to forget about Tad and lean towards him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody saw, I didn't see Friday's episode because I normally watch it at 8 o'clock and I was in the middle of watching other stuff. But, I mean, as the last I saw of yesterday's episode, when JR confronted her and called her over in his drunken state, you know, for David to confess, she flat out said, I don't need him to confess because I know it's not true. And just the devious look on his face, like, yeah, you know what's true. You know, it's like, okay, I got her. Hook, line, and sinker, I got her. And that's that. So, I mean, I like the David and Crystal pairing because I think, you know, I like Crystal. I mean, even though, you know, she's a mom now, a second time with the baby, you see she just walked right out of the house and left Opal with that baby. You know, knowing very well that Opal said, you know, you leave here, you know, or you see David, all bets are off, and I'm telling Tad everything. And obviously that didn't make a difference to her. She just, wanted to be with him, and it's whatever pills he's giving her is causing all that to happen.
No question.
Definitely. Tony, and what do you think about the David Crystal storyline?
I think if they keep writing it the way they are, it'll be good. I mean, it's going to the promos that they're showing are showing more turmoil for Tad and Crystal, so that looks like it's going to be interesting. So I just want to see what they have coming, as long as they keep the writing that way. And
mm-hmm.
I think they would make a good, like, devious couple.
Right. Now, again, you don't really watch All My Children, but you know Crystal's character and you know David's character. What do you think about a David-Crystal pairing? Huh?
Did you say pairing?
Yeah,
Crystal and David.
I'm tuning in and out because I'm trying to watch GH with Spinelli and Maxie. They're killing me and making me cry over here, bastards.
Oh,
God, they're like imploded today.
Oh, I'm a negative. No. No, thank you.
Really?
I like Tad and Crystal. I'm sorry.
Oh.
If I was going to pick someone for David to have sex with, I'd pick, like, Amanda because that'd be some hot shit.
Well, they did, and he used her, and now he's calling her the little whore. So, I mean,
I know. Poor Amanda can't get anybody to really love her for who she is. I think it's jacked up.
Right.
I don't really pay attention, though, so I don't even know what's going on.
Okay, so shut up, then. Let me go to somebody that knows. Be quiet, Richard. Hush up. No, I need you to be quiet. All right, I'm trying to get – Blog Talk is running so damn slow, I can't even stand it. My switchboard keeps running in and out. I didn't even see – the new Blog Talk page, people are not really finding the button where you press and listen. So, and I missed Crystal – there was Crystal in the chat room, I missed her. So, okay, sorry about that. And Brandon's on the phone. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Joanne, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the show. I was deep in a nap.
I bet you were. I knew you were. I had a feeling you were.
Oh, it's been a long week,
and
I was laying on the couch watching All My Children, and the next thing I know, General Hospital's on. So I was like, what? I missed a whole hour and a half.
Oh, jeez, Louise. But
it was It was a nice
nap. That's okay. That's all right. You're entitled. We were just talking about the pairing of the storyline between David and Crystal. What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't know. I've never really cared for David, and I've never really cared for Crystal either, so I could kind of take it or leave it.
Oh, okay. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's move on to, I know, and this is one of Brandon's favorite subjects, Jesse, Angie, and Rebecca.
Oh, my.
Now, the episode, the Friday's episode where Angie gets the results saying that, you know, Rebecca's tumor is stabilized after just one chemotherapy treatment. And you know what? I have to say, especially since I went through chemotherapy, even just one session knocks the shit out of you. So the fact that Rebecca was up in gambling in a casino just really made me laugh.
And looking all angelic and gorgeous. And
My God, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, no, you don't lose your hair after one treatment, honestly. I didn't start losing my hair until, I think, the third or fourth week. But I swear to God, after that first treatment, I didn't look like that. You know what I mean? I couldn't even look like that. As much makeup or whatever I put on my face did not make me look like that after one chemotherapy treatment. So, you know, and mine wasn't even a brain tumor. So, you know, that stuff always amazes me when they do that. You know, she and then Angie's all smiley and happy. And then you got Frankie standing next to his sister, whatever her name is, I can't remember.
Natalia.
His sister, Natalia, standing next to her, looking at Jesse dancing with Rebecca, all smiles and happy. So it's like, whatever, you know. I'm so over that storyline. It's just like, can't be bothered. So.
Me too.
And
next.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Like,
so you don't have nothing to say about it. Yeah, next, right? Georgette don't care. Georgette don't watch it. Tony Ann.
I'm just done with the whole big joint happy family storyline. I need to go.
Okay. And let's get Rita's opinion on the Jesse, Angie, Rebecca line.
Well, thank you. I can almost see that growing into something because I think it's kind of good to see. I don't know if this sounds whatever, but I like the fact that Angie actually showed some human anger. I think she's such a good actress as it is, but I like the fact that she actually showed something. And I'd like to see those mixed emotions come out. So I'm really kind of, I'm kind of glad it subsided because, well, maybe it's too close to home. I don't want to see that daughter, Jesse's daughter, lose her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm a little bit emotional right now because I'm still literally getting over mine going, and I'm not going to compare a soap opera with real life, but I'm kind of glad that the tumor, I know it's not realistic. I know it's not real life. I know that doesn't happen in real life unless a miracle happens, but I'd like to see her stay on a little while longer.
Mm,
I'm kind of
okay.
glad it's reversed. I know I heard what you said. You said you die already, get it over with. And I can and I agree with you. I thought you said that about Rebecca.
Me?
I mean, I thought I heard you say that on one of the shows.
No, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Did I say that?
It sounded like you said that one day. You said, do it already. Do it already because they were dragging it out.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I
think
that
you
don't
said,
remember.
Maybe
it was
me.
Brandon. Yeah, Brandon did that. Maybe I repeated what he said, but I don't think I said that.
Just because.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you, Joanne. It sounded like you.
Right, and I may have repeated what Brandon said, but I didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
But
no,
I have a request. As long as we're on this, all my children and affairs and relationships. And I know his character doesn't quite cut it for you, so I don't know. I'm just going to ask you, and I will also wait till next Wednesday. I would like to talk to the face behind Brat Monroe. I know he doesn't quite cut it for you, his character, because I thought I heard you say something like that. But I would really, I can see, especially on All My Children, I could see that getting deeper and deeper. And I could see Taylor kissing his scar and saying, that's the most beautiful thing I ever saw, because that means you're still alive. I could just see that getting really deep, especially on All My Children.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not so much that Brat doesn't cut it for me. It's the fact that he was not an actor. And and I think he's very rough around the edges. The scenes I saw this week of Taylor and Brat were kind of nice. But I don't – the only person that I'll admit to not caring for on All My Children is Brianne Moncrief.
Is who?
It's Brianne Moncrief. That's Colby's character.
Colby.
Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't know everybody's name by heart. I know their character's name. I didn't know that was her name.
Now, moving on to Adam, Erica, Jack, and Carmen. Oh. I mean, the rumor is that Elizabeth Rodriguez got fired anyway. They didn't confirm it, but it's a rumor. It's out there, and you know, that whole thing was just ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. It was profound. It was profound. I don't know why. It was profound. It seemed like she was fired. Now she's back on contract. Now she's on contract, and now they say they fired her again. I mean, what is that about? It's like the same thing what they did with Colin Egglesfield, who's coming back next week. I mean, they just brought him on for a few shows, and that's it.
Right. Well, Elizabeth Rodriguez this week, you know, she storms off on Jack. So, Carmen storms off on Jack. So I'm assuming that's how they're going to end up getting rid of her. And, you know, in the last episode that I saw with her in it, she says, oh, yeah, it stalled out for me and Jackie, you know, and she walks away because she realizes that, you know, Jack will never be over Erica. But you know what? I don't ever want to see Erica and Jack together, period.
No, not. I'll tell you, nobody doesn't want to see that. I mean, it's been like a drawn-out story. It's like an old piece of cheese. It's been around way too long. Don't want any more.
Brandon, what's your thoughts on Erica and Jack?
Say it again.
Erica and Jack.
On Erica and Jack.
Oh, I don't know. I've never really cared for Walt Willie. I don't know. I think the problem with the show altogether is there's too many. There's too many people who aren't core characters being handed the show, like
mm-hmm.
Taylor, Brat, and Annie, and Carmen, and Petey, and Colby. I mean, you know, we tune into the show because we want to see Erica and Adam and, you know, Jesse and Angie and even Kendall and Zach, even though,
right.
You know, they're not really core characters. They've kind of ingratiated themselves into the show.
Core characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, those people are strong enough to build this show around, and I don't understand why it's not being done. I don't.
Right.
The show's a lot better than it was a year ago, but it's still in deep trouble when I watch it. There's still so much about it that I don't care about.
Now, what about the Bianca, Reese, and Zach thing? We talked about this the other day, but after watching it this week, This is what came to my memory, you know. I mean, we all know how bad my memory is, but this is what came to my memory when I was watching this week's episodes.
Yeah.
Zach is a very touchy-feely kind of character. He's forever, you know, if you notice with every woman on the show or whatever, he's forever hugging somebody or kissing somebody or, you know, like I said, I compared him to the he's the godfather of Pine Valley, you know. And so I thought back, Kendall thought Zach was into Greenlee, and she accused Greenlee of being into Zach. So now Greenlee saw Zach, you know, hugging on Reese, and she looked like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. Now, it wasn't too long ago he was doing the same thing with her because of their situation. That's just, I think, just the way his character is, and I think they're missing that. you know, and they're interpreting this whole thing now, and they're putting Zach in the middle of this thing, you know, between Bianca and Reese, that doesn't necessarily have to be there. You know what I mean? It's like kind of the way he is, you know, and they're trying to make something out of it now. Now, what would have been a nice twist if they wanted to bring Zach into their mix is if when Bianca found out that Reese was actually engaged to a man, it should have been Zach from his years from way past, you know, beyond when he was, you know, on the run and he was supposed to be dead. It should have been him if they wanted to bring it in there. Then I could have saw a secret between them. But there's no actual secret.
No.
Or even
it would have tied in good.
Or even somebody he knows, like a brother or
or the sister.
A family member or something. I mean,
right, something like that. Like she could have been another Cambius. She could have been a sister. But it would have been really cool.
Yeah, that's the angle I was looking for too. Yeah, I thought she was like a long lost sister of Zach's or something. Like, but now they just brought her in. But now they just brought her in as Bianca's girlfriend slash fiance now slash whatever. I mean, it's just all the dynamics off. But that's why the whole thing's off.
Right, but I think it still would have been a good twist if they would have made, because of all the time that Zach Slater was on the run, you know, and he was involved with all these different people, if Reese would have been one of them, that's who she was engaged to, they met up, that's how Zach, you know, decided to fork over his sperm, you know, and it would have been a nice twist with Kendall if, you know, in fact, that he did it because that's who he was with or whatever the case is. Who the hell knows? But that's, I don't know. That's what I was thinking about. Whoever's on the line is on the line. I can't pick anybody else up right this second because Blog Talk just crapped out. So I'm trying to get it back up. So, okay.
Can you hear me, Joanne?
Yeah, I can hear everybody, but I don't have my switchboard is down, so I can't see who's on the phone.
I tell you what, I really like that story, and I really like those actors together.
Mm-hmm.
But what I kind of resent about that story is they're twisting Bianca around in order
mm-hmm.
to accommodate a sensational story, and they're making her react in ways that I don't think she would react.
No,
right.
And I resent that a little bit because, you know, Bianca's one of those people that we watch the show for, and you know we've come to know her over the years.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And she's acting lately in ways that I don't think that she would.
I think she's more acting like her mother, basically.
She's way too sensible. She's way too, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but she's, right, in the past couple of weeks, she's been acting.
Level-headed.
Yes, exactly.
Bianca's
and she's been acting.
Level-headed character.
And she's been acting way out of character in the past couple of weeks just to accommodate.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And that's because what everybody's been telling me. You know, she's been thinking that there's something going on with Zach and Reese, and now she's starting to believe it, and then she's going to try to test him and set that trap for him.
Right, but it if you saw the episode where Greenlee said when they were in the casino and they were talking about the wedding plans, and Zach and Reese were bantering off of each other, and Bianca stormed off, Greenlee said, storming off mad like that, that's the wrong sister for that. What happened? So it's very clear that Bianca is acting out of character, and I don't like her like that. I don't like to see we've come to know Bianca to be a certain way, and I don't think that you need to mess with a perfected character.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that the right way to say it?
Especially for the sake of a story, no matter how good the actors might be together, I think it's wrong to debate the character in order to serve a story.
Right. I agree. So, all right, that's that. And then the whole Ryan Greenlee thing, I'm not even going to talk about because she's going to be dead eventually and off the show, so I'm not going to talk about that.
That's all I'm going to do.
I did kind of like there was a little episode this week of Opal and Crystal, you know, the Opal and Crystal episode. I really did like seeing their interaction together. So that was the only, you know, because they don't use Jill Larson enough.
No. No, they don't. It's the same way they don't use. They didn't use Jabbar. They didn't use Lee Manuel when she's on. I mean, it's just like once every five blue moons they be on, and they be on for like two or three shows or three or four shows, and then you won't see them after that.
Right. Okay. Let me see. Wait a minute. I'm trying to get my switchboard back up. Do I have it? Yeah, it's up. It's up. Okay. So move on to One Life to Live. Brandon, did you see all the episodes this week of One Life to Live? I know Tony Ann did. I'll get you in a second, Tony Ann. I just got the switchboard back up. Everybody else is on mute. Brandon, did you see One Life?
I didn't see today's. I saw yesterday's, and I saw most of Wednesday's and part of Tuesday's. So.
Okay.
I'm more or less up to speed, but I didn't see it. So
basically, Tony, you saw it. So tell me what's going on, because I didn't see really. The only thing I saw this week was Todd going into the water. Marty's pissed because everybody saved them. Now, from what I'm understanding, Marty is going to revert back to her old ways, and she jumped on a motorcycle with somebody. She's off.
Yeah, that's right. She did jump on a motorcycle. Yeah, she was going back to her old ways where she was before, and then she jumped on the bike. We found out, it happens to be Brody's friend from Iraq, Wes, who is around town.
Okay.
And the reason why it was tipped off because Wes went to see Brody at St. Anne's, and he was talking about this hot chick that he had in his place. So automatically, my mind immediately said it was Marty. Automatically.
Okay.
Boom.
All right.
I think a little friendship that might start up between them. But today,
nothing happened between them. But John thinks that something happened between them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Because he walked in on a bit of a compromising moment between them, but nothing happened.
No, absolutely not. But I think Marty and Wes are gonna have a little friendship now because of that.
Okay, you know what, let me backtrack for a second, because since we're finishing All My Children, let me just touch on the what's supposed to happen for next week, just a little preview. This is courtesy of one of the Yahoo groups that I belong to, ABC Super Soap Nuts. Josh returns to Pine Valley, and he's got a gun. Ted learns about Crystal and David. We already know that's going to happen. Just when things start going well for the Kane family, Bianca seems to be patching things up with Reese, and Eric is beginning to make nice with her future daughter-in-law. Then Josh returns, Erica's son, is in town looking for revenge on Zach for driving him away months ago, and no one, not even his mother or his sisters, is going to stand in his way. He tries to rob the casino, and soon enough has his entire family held hostage. And with Kendall's medical condition worsening by the minute, things are looking bleak for the Kane offspring. According to David, he says she's got days, not months, to live. The situation with Tad and Crystal goes from bad to worse after learning about her affair with David. Tad says their marriage is over, and even worse for Crystal, he initializes a custody battle for baby Jenny, and then David continues to manipulate her, Crystal, at every turn, and he's clearly succeeding, given Crystal is popping pills like they were Tic Tacs. We get a big showdown in court, and yes, it is possible for things to go from worse to terrible, but will the prospect of bringing David down actually bring old enemies, Tad and Adam, together, as in will they team up? Okay, then. Annie does go more insane and falsely believes that Ryan has been stabbed by Greenlee, which to Annie means Greenlee's got to go. And there's next week is supposed to be a moment of lucidity for Annie. So she's going to have a moment of being lucid. So we'll see what happens when that happens. I don't know. It doesn't say. And with Aiden's help, Annie tries to fake. Oh, okay. They write these things all messed up. With Aiden's help, Annie tries to fake sanity in order to get released, but will Greenlee buy Annie as being reformed? All this, plus Jake and Angie investigate David's shady dealings at the hospital. Randy resorts to old habits, and it's not stonewashed clothing, and somebody may be pregnant, which we already know is going to be Amanda. Again, my damn server ran down, so I'm trying to pull Blog Talk up again. All right, so go ahead. Continue with One Life to Live.
while I do this, the freaking thing.
Okay, let's see. Let's move on. Last night, I think, speaking of St. Anne's, but speaking of Brody, he and Jessica were discussing earlier about how Tess, when Tess was out, confronted with Brody, trying to get her to escape St. Anne's so she can go find her baby. Because Brody tricked her, of course, and he told Jessica about it. And he was watching out, and she basically said, they made a pact just to basically look out for each other, you know. And really tough. And I told you West stopped by as well. Okay. Now, meanwhile, what's going on, Vicky came to visit too. And Vicky came earlier that week to visit her. But she encountered not just Tessa, what she encountered for the first time, Bess.
I'm sorry, I'm cursing under my breath, Dad.
Okay, well, actually, Vicky made a visit there, and she encountered Bess. And Bess warned her to basically just leave stuff alone because you don't want to mess with that. Everything as it should be because she fixed about the baby and stuff. And she said she fixed it up. She basically fixed it. You don't want to mess with it, Vicky. And she said stone cold look. She had that stone cold look on her face, you know.
Okay. Now, what's happening with David Vickers?
Well, he's still in his no, my wordy person still mean a thing. Love only means a thing, apostle routine. Of course, he's going around apologizing, making amends for what he did and everything. He got bold. He even told Carlotta earlier this week that he accidentally burned out his diet, but Carlotta told him that he didn't actually burn a diet because it was bad wiring, and he was trying to get a forgiver and everything. He was asking for the rescue. But the big story of the week, obviously, was because of the wealth that Ace left behind. That when the family business was like tanking routine, and they couldn't get the stock up routine, so Issa gave all his worldly possessions, everything, lock, stock, and barrel to David Vickers. But when David came back to town, he doesn't want the money. All he wants is love. He says love. He's freedom and everything else. But Clint and Nora think differently. He thinks he's trying to scam. Okay? Then you know what David Vickers is? He's trying to be a scammer. Okay?
Right.
That's what he usually is. So he came up with a little plan so he can try to entice David to get that $10 million, $10 million he wants, so he can do whatever he wants. But David, of course, refused to take it when Jared asked him. And he's still back on here, so... quest of soul searching, but eventually I think it's eventually going to take him to Dorian's place. But meanwhile, speaking of Dorian, she was down in the island down there where Nigel gave to Alex, and she ran Alex alone off, and she told him that about David Vickers, and Nigel had the secret, and that's why she got the island, because of the secret that she had that he knew, and of course Max Holman. And Dorian was said, who was this? And and then Ace's lawyer shows up there, and Dorian is trying to get him all drunk, get him all in, trying to use her usually same tricks that she pulled on Charlie, basically, puts up in the guy's drink, make him spill his guts, and then he doesn't remember the next morning. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Good Dorian. Dorian, I actually saw the episode where she starts to get him drunk, but I had to stop it in the middle. But that's pretty much where I left off. Now, Scott Clifton debuted this week.
Today.
Not, Brandon, you didn't see today's episode.
I haven't seen today's.
Okay, well, Tony Ann, tell me about today's episode. And Georgette, you saw it too, right?
Hello?
Georgette?
Yes, go ahead.
Wait a minute. No, Georgette?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I put my phone on mute so I could watch the finale, Maxie. Sorry.
Okay, you saw today's episode. Now, did you just watch the parts with Scott Clifton in it?
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
All right, then shut up. I don't want to talk to you. That's the mute and watch Maxie. And
I can't.
Finale.
No, I can't support that show. I only support it now because he's on, and I love Scott.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know how you can't support the show because, all right, Forbes is gone, but you still have another client that's on that show, so you can't be biased because of Forbes, okay? So I'm saying goodbye to Georgette, and she can watch Maxie and Spinelli. I'm leaving her on the phone. Go watch Maxie and Spinelli, retard. Okay. Tell me in. Tell me about today's episode.
Today's episode, well, did you see Blair and Todd talk after he was after he dumped himself into the water?
Yeah, no, I didn't. But go ahead. Just tell me your view on it. Don't worry about what everybody saw.
Well, Blair and Todd are talking, and it's actually pretty interesting because, I mean, I've read articles where Cassie says she thinks T&B has run its course, like, she thinks Blair needs to move on and get a life without Todd, but like with today's scenes, you can see they're always going to be connected. Maybe it's cliche because of the three of them, but she always comes back to save him because she brings him muffins and coffee and gives him this whole...
Oh, for God's sake, make me throw up already. Oh.
All right.
Gives him this whole spiel on how he can be a better man, a better father, a better brother. First
now,
of all,
doesn't she, like, leave pictures with him or something of the kids?
Yeah, she leaves a picture of them with herself in it from, like, whatever Christmas it was that he brought Sam home and named him. And it's like, you're going to sit here and tell him in the same conversation how wrong he is for wanting to steal his granddaughter, who's not dead. Don't get me started.
Mm-hmm.
This is soul fan, sorry.
That's true. Not dead.
But in the same breath, she's going to tell him, you're so wrong for wanting to steal your daughter's child, but, oh, you can be a better man. You can be a good father. You can be a good brother.
Oh,
you can be a good man.
You know what? Yeah, that stuff's really got to go. Brandon, you even have to agree with that. I mean, seriously, you know, the whole baby stealing storyline with Tess, Bess, and Jess, is a good storyline, but when it comes down to Blair going to Todd and saying, oh, you could be a better dad, you could be a better this, he tried to steal his friggin' grandchild. You know what I'm saying? There's only even Trevor St. John said, I don't know how they're going to redeem this character. So,
another thing that's, I didn't mean to cut you off, John, I'm sorry. Another thing that completely irritated me was I don't know if you've seen the scenes when Todd jumped.
Yeah.
Before he jumped, he had not one thought of Star, Jack, or Sam. Now, Todd, the character we've all known, would have had a thought of one of those three children, they've denounced him or not.
Right. That's true. He would have. I mean, but he's so overpowered by this supposed love with Marty because he was able to put on a facade because it was somebody that didn't know him. I mean, she knows him but didn't know him. You know what I'm saying? He would have better luck with a person that absolutely knew nothing about him, you know, rather than getting involved with Marty. But anyhow, that's just my opinion.
Yes.
That's
Marty,
just my opinion.
I don't see them redeeming her either, but
I don't know either.
Either one of the two.
I know you've got an opinion about this story, Brandon.
I don't know. I think it's all just fascinating and just brilliant on multiple levels. I mean, just the way they're digging into the psychology of both of these characters is really fascinating stuff. And, you know, it's brave of the show to go there. It really is in these, you know, these troubled times when nobody's really doing this kind of stuff anymore. To see One Life to Live kind of return to that well is really fascinating, I think.
Right.
That's just my opinion, but...
I agree with you to a point, but I mean, the fact that they're kind of like putting it off where, you know, having Blair kiss his ass again is just annoying.
No.
That's just annoying to me, you know.
No.
I just, I don't know. That's just my thoughts on,
you know,
on
T&B,
that.
You know, T&B is like an old record. Once you play it too much, it ends up being broke.
Yeah. Okay, going to move on to General Hospital. We only got 30 minutes left. General Hospital,
I didn't watch All Week, and honestly, I haven't watched in weeks, period. So just I've been reading and just catching spoilers here and there because it's been pretty painful to watch because to me the dialogue is so repetitive. And it seems like everybody keeps talking about the same friggin' thing. Every time you turn on a show, it's, oh, you know, Jason's not going to fight me, and he knows, and, oh, no, Jason's not going to fight me. Oh, Sonny's not going to cross that line. Oh, no. And then, you know, I like the scenes that I saw between Carly and Claudia when she walked in the house and was like, you ain't telling me where to go. You know, I like those scenes. That was, you know, pretty much the only thing that I liked so far. I mean, like I said,
confrontation.
Yeah, I like that. And you want to know something? This is how long I haven't really watched General Hospital. I had no idea Kelly's burned down. I didn't know that until
obviously November. That's back. That was back in November.
That's how long I really haven't watched the show. I mean, like, I'm not saying that I didn't watch it, but I've been watching in between, you know, that I completely missed that. And until today when I was watching the episode of Luke asking Mike to redo the diner, which to me is, oh, another diner burnt down. And, oh, somebody else who is an alcoholic gambler is going to rebuild it. Oh, and wait a minute, they don't want to upgrade the diner. They want to build it the same way it actually was. Okay, so instead of building Carlotta's diner the way that it was, they built the Bonjour.
The Bonjour.
Come on. They really need to stop biting off of One Life to Live, seriously, because that's just all
yes,
it seems like
do.
It is doing to me.
Next thing you know, we'll see a baby switch.
Oh, don't even go there. Okay, don't even go. Please. No more baby switching. I can't stand baby switching.
Right. Then all of a sudden, I mean, we know Winifred is an agent. We know that now.
Damn
now,
right.
She's the agent. We know that. And I feel so bad for Spinelli. I just finished watching. I'm in the middle of that episode where it's the morning after, and Maxie pretty much tells them the only reason she slept with him is because she felt threatened and didn't want nobody else to have him.
Well,
and I really feel bad for him. I do. I feel bad for Spinelli. And
I felt bad for Maxie. And
for
who would have thought that was possible?
He slammed the door.
Why do you feel bad for Maxie?
I don't know. I just did you see it today?
No.
I saw
today's now. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
saw it. I did, Brandon. I said he did. Yeah, he told. Yeah, she told him about that, and I saw at the very end. Also saw at the very end that he was arrested, but it was FBI agents at the very end.
All right, but I want to know why Brandon feels sorry for Maxie.
I don't know. He and Maxie had a big conversation today that they both said some things that they didn't really mean, and ended with Spinelli kind of storming out and Maxie crumbling in tears, and I just felt awful for her for the first time ever.
I didn't finish watching the episode, but as of right now, I actually just had to pause the TiVo again because it just that's how long it's been on pause. It started up on its own. I just finished watching it where they came out of the bedroom and Spinelli was like, oh, wow, and he grabbed her hand and kissed her and all that. So, yeah, I felt bad because as soon as he found out that she freaking used him again, and he said, you use sex to get what you want. And that's what she did. So I'm happy to see Spinelli stick up for himself because he doesn't. And what's going to be really interesting to me, and I'll definitely watch the full week next week because I want to see what unfolds with this whole FBI thing because they're going to pin Spinelli up against Jason to rat on Sonny. And I want to see how they're going to get out of that. And I want to see what the hell this big explosion or whatever the hell is supposed to happen at this hospital.
I just had Maxie for one reason, because Spinelli was the only reason I liked Maxie.
Oh, really? No, I liked Maxie to begin with. I mean, she's my type of girl. I love the fact that she'd stick a heel in somebody's eye to protect her friend.
Oh.
Because that's what
The great thing about the story is it's Maxie crying wolf again, except this time she's right.
Damn right.
Exactly.
I learned the hard way.
I think that's a hilarious twist.
Yes, I completely agree with you. She knows. And then they revisited the friendship between Stan and Maxie. They haven't been seen together since
her days with Lucky. Am I right?
Way back when. Way back when. Yeah, way back when. Maybe over a year ago,
basically.
A long
time ago, almost, right? Am I right? Okay.
And now stands with Lucky.
Yeah.
All right, well.
It was good to see that dynamic back again, see the friendship between Maxie and Sam.
I don't think it's been a whole year, but it's been a while.
It's been a long time. Sam needs a friend, for crying out loud. Jesus. I don't know what's going on as far as the pairing between Elizabeth and Lucky and Jason and Sam, but I know that, like, In the Zone was having a big conversation for the J-Sam fans and the Liaison fans to come out and voice their opinions because evidently it looks like that that's the way they're going. They're going to pair Greg and Lucky and Elizabeth back up together, and then they're going to pair Jason and Sam back up together. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. They share partners more like, I mean, I swear, it's a wonder that Robin is the only one in Port Charles that has HIV. Seriously, with all the sleeping around that goes, you know, and the broken condoms and whatever. Oh, it's just insane the way they trade partners, seriously.
Well, I know there's one serious thing. I know, and all switching gears. There's been one funny moment this week, and it's I called them the Laverne and Shirley lawyers porch shop. I'm talking about Diana,
yeah.
Like this,
mm-hmm.
And that Jackson Carly divorce settlement. It was so hilarious with those two, man.
Yeah, like I said, I'm in the middle of watching that one now, and I always love seeing Diane and Alexis, you know, mix it up because they go at each other in a courtroom or behind closed doors, you know, when acting as lawyers, you know, they go at each other with the gusto, and then in a minute they turn, okay, let's go get a drink. You know, I love the fact that they can just walk away from it.
For shoes.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that about them. And, I mean, going into the Zakars again, why I'm going there, I don't know, but I am. Lulu and Johnny. Johnny's in jail again. For what? Because his daddy set him up. Okay.
Just to get him back down his thumb. What else is new?
And that's the repetitive part, you know. Claudia comes running down and she calls Lulu a deadbolt or whatever the hell she called her, and it's just
Lulu walks in the middle of the thing and gets annoyed.
You know, I was wondering if she's going to slap Claudia's ass. I swear to God, she's one day she's going to slap her.
I don't know. Even vice versa. You know, and it's Johnny sitting behind. I don't want your help. I don't want my father's help. I don't want to be associated with Sonny. I don't want to be. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. You know, you just like want to smack somebody in the face and be like, okay, get it off the repeat button and just move on with something already, for crying out loud. I mean, I like Brandon Barash. You know, I mean, I love Brandon Barash. I just don't think they're giving him anything that he's worth.
No.
I'm not going to say anything about the other counterpart, so I'll just leave that alone. But then the other repetitive storyline, okay. Robin and Patrick are definitely making it interesting as far as the hospital is concerned, but I read somewhere that Robin is supposed to be kind of feeling disassociated with the baby, and, you know, she might be going through postpartum depression, and it seems to me like that already started, but the dialogue of it all is completely repetitive to where before when she was pregnant, oh, I didn't think this through, and oh, I should have thought about this, and oh, I should have thought, when she was talking to Patrick about being a father, right. You know, it was like she kept repeating herself over and over and over again. Now, to me, concerning the baby, she's repeating herself over and over and over again. Now, Patrick comes home and sees her on the floor crying, oh, I should have thought about having a baby more. I should have thought about this. I mean, we're not completely, you know, we shouldn't think that we're, you know, not susceptible to the things that are going on in the world and whatever. Oh, God, already. Shut up. You had the fucking kid. You wanted the kid. You got the kid. You got him with the father that you wanted.
Okay.
Hold on. There's another way of having, you know, I mean, if you want her to have postpartum depression, that's fine. But write it a completely different way. You know, make her go crazy. You know, make her not want to have nothing to do with the kid. Make her want to go out and have fun and go do tequila shots. Make her do that, but stop making her whine. Whine, you want some cheese with the wine? What do you want with the wine? I mean, what goes good with that wine? Let's figure it out.
She's beginning to whine more than
with that wine. I love it.
I'm telling you, it's just
Robin's a born whiner though, so you know it's kind of in character. If you think.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it is, and that's fine. But whine about something different that I didn't hear you whine about already. You know, whine about something different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whine about something different. I don't know. That's just my thought on that. Go ahead, you say what you got to say. I'm done talking about her.
I think it's an interesting storyline, and I think it's something that we haven't seen very often on daytime.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have this fear that they're not going to see it through, and that's kind of my problem
with
the storyline.
Because they're starting it off wrong, you know what I mean? And like she said, oh, I'm a doctor, I know about hormones. And Patrick said, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, they wrote it for him, but they're not writing it for her. He's like, we talked about this. We talked about it before when you were pregnant. We talked about it to death, which is true. They did. So shut up, in other words. And they're just not giving her the right way to start it off. You know,
you're
they're starting it off completely
with
wrong.
This week.
Huh?
You're going to have fun when Kimberly comes on, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know what though? I don't voice my opinions to the actors because they have no control over it. I mean,
no.
They do the best with what they're given.
They're given.
You know, Kimberly, I think, is a fine actress.
Oh,
I have no issue
with
her.
But it's the writing that sucks.
Robin is another story.
Bob Goose is another story.
Yeah, Goose is another story. It's not even Robin.
Goober.
You know what, though? The thing is, also, you know, my show is so not based with that. Especially, I mean, we rarely do these kind of shows. I mean, we just started doing them because they're fun to do. And, you know, I like hearing what everybody has to say. And, I mean, we rarely talk about it because when the actors come on, which 90% of the shows are when actors come on,
right. You
know, we talk about their life and their acting styles, and it's for the fans to talk to them, not so much me. You know, I do my little questions here and there, and but it's more so for the fans. So, yeah, I like to vent occasionally about what I feel. Like when we did the show with Michael Fairman and I said what I wanted to say, I rarely do that with the shows. But, you know, on occasion I'll have to say something. But would I voice it to the actors? No. Because, you know, they're doing what they're doing, and that's it. They're given a script and just move on. You know, it's not their fault. Not at all that she, you know, she's repeating herself. For all we know, when she looks at her script, she could be saying, God, I'm saying this again. Didn't I just say that last week?
Yeah, Brandon had no control over all those khakis he had on.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah. Brandon's buddy, I remember the question came up of wardrobe. They dress him how, you know, he's got no control over the way he dresses. You know, they have no control over a lot of stuff. So, you know, there's, like, no point in discussing stuff like that with them because that's the answer that you're going to get, you know. But on this show, now, let's talk about another type of show where you want to get into the writing styles and stuff like that. That's the show you'll tune into next Wednesday on Brandon's Buzz. Because Brandon's Buzz is going to be about a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff and the writing and all that stuff. So, Brandon, tell us about your guests coming up.
Well, we've got Robert Krimmer as my debut show. Once upon a time, he was known as Wortham Krimmer. He was Andrew Carpenter on One Life to Live for about a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lawyer now in California, and he's coming on the show to talk about his time on the show and his decision to step away from the show. It's going to be very exciting. We've got Gordon Thompson coming up from Dynasty in Santa Barbara. I don't have a date confirmed for him yet. I've sent him a couple of dates, and I haven't heard back from him yet, but that's imminent. And
okay.
I got a yes from singer Vonda Shepherd, who was on Ally McBeal for, I don't know, 5 or 6 seasons.
Oh,
yeah.
Vonda
Shepherd, yes.
Yeah, the singer in the bar every week, I got a yes from her.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll probably be at the end of the month. I got a maybe from Robin Strasser, and I got a maybe from Lynn Herring. Mm-hmm. And I got a no from Linda Dano, but Linda Dano is answering some questions that I submitted to her, and she's going to let me put them on the blog. So
okay,
she won't be on the show, but I will have some questions answered from her for the fans. So
right.
I will let y'all know more about that when I get something back from her. And I've sent out a bunch of more invitations, and I'm waiting to hear from a lot of people. So I'm very excited about how it's all coming together.
Can I just ask real quick, who's doing the heavy breathing on the phone?
Is that me? I hope not.
Oh, yeah, that is you. Rita, I didn't even know you were still on the phone because my switchboard's not up.
Well, your switchboard did cut me off, and then I was able to get back on, and I'm sorry.
Oh,
I do have
serious
breathing problems.
But can everybody just see how this works? Because I can't see my switchboard, so I had no way to put Rita back on the phone. So she obviously called back in and just got right in, and I didn't even pick her up.
Wow.
So Blog Talk's got some serious buzz. So Brandon's buzz is going to be his debut show is next Wednesday, and I can't wait for that one. And
Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Right. So that's going to be really exciting.
It'll be late night on the East Coast and prime time on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Your guys' help for next week.
Okay, what did you need help with?
Very, very serious. Two of the most dearest, beloved characters in all of daytime was one you mentioned earlier, Bianca Montgomery, played by Eden Riegel, and Emily Quatermain, played by Natalia Livingston. I understand they want to branch out, but now they have her coming back on the 15th, and now they're saying something about every day is going to be treated like you're living your last day. All hell is supposed to break out next week. I do not want to see Natalia Livingston coming back as the exact opposite. I understand she's going to be a little different. She's not going to be Emily Quatermain, but I don't want to see her being an evil twin either.
And I think it's going to be great. Isn't that funny?
Well, I hope it's going to be a combination of this Nadine thing with the weapon thing and those people wanting to use that thing as a weapon. I hope it's going to be a combination of that. I just don't want to see Natalia Livingston being okay if she wants to be cocky or something like that. But not, please don't let her be like an evil twin.
Opposite. Well. That's exactly what she's going to be. She's going to be a character named Rebecca that's coming back to stir some stuff up. She's not going to be anything like
Emily.
You mean she's going to literally be the exact opposite?
Yeah, 360.
That's how it sounds so far. And I don't know. I can't wait to see her as a bad girl because Emily was such a saint that it was nauseating, especially toward the end. And
I can't
wait to see what she does with this kind of role. It's going to be exciting, I think.
Yeah, it'll be next Thursday afternoon,
January 15th. Yeah.
Okay. So now I don't understand what help you need though. What is the help you're looking
for?
Well,
the help I wanted you to write in and not make her an exact. I want something to go there. Jason is going to want to be close to his dead sister, and Nicholas is gonna. This is impossible. I want something to revolve around that, and I don't want her to just come right out and be cocky. I want her to. You said yourself, if this is gonna be written right, I mean, is she gonna come right out and be cocky right away? Is she gonna be the cause of every day is gonna be like your last, or will there be something there where, yes, she's supposed to be a dead ringer for Emily? I mean, I want some of that.
Well, honestly, writing in is not going to change anything because Bob Guza wrote the character for Natalia.
Right.
Specifically, and it's what Natalia agreed on.
Uh-huh.
So, this is what she wants. So it's not about what we want. It's about what she wanted and what he wrote for her. So this character is already set in stone. So there's no changing her. She's coming on, bad bitch or not, one way or the other, with her short blonde hair, and she's going to cause some trouble.
Short blonde hair, attitude, the boot.
Yep.
So what do I need to do? So I need to embrace
the show and support her. That's it.
Oh, I definitely want to support her because I love the girl.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing you can do. I mean, writing in is not going to make a difference. They're not going to rewrite an entire character because, you know, of Emily. So many people are so happy to have Natalia back on General Hospital, period.
I'm just glad to have her back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just not going to happen. There was something else.
Well,
that
can
you,
we
you
at least write in about Rebecca Buttig, maybe make it a witness protection program, because at least leave a door open for her instead of permanently killing her off. I know she doesn't want to come back, and I know a lot of people are upset because of Sabine, and some people realize Rebecca was against the way they treated Sabine. But is there any way we could write in that maybe they could turn it into, like, eventually she was in a witness protection program. She had to be convincing killed off because...
But what would that have to do with the stories that are going on now? Like, why would she be in a witness protection program?
Well, I mean, if they kill her off, we know that soaps can always bring back a dead person. They do it all the time. But, I mean, kill her off to us now. They didn't kill Leo off because they never found his body. So I'm just wondering if there's anything we could write in where...
Well, there's no guarantee Rebecca's getting killed off. Those are rumors going around. And you know what? Bob Gay...
I pray to God it doesn't. I hope she doesn't get killed off. I hope she just leaves town again. That's all I'm thinking.
Bob Gay told me yesterday that him and Rebecca are both supposed to come on in the next couple of weeks or so. We're trying to work out a date. And when she comes on the show, you could ask her. I don't know.
Aren't those scenes nearly filmed already? Her exit's in the spring, but still, they're in progress of everything's probably written already, no matter what. Even if...
The fans
it wouldn't make a difference.
The shows are written almost a month in advance.
Yeah.
Well, and I have a serious favor to ask of you, Joanne, that I don't want to ask in front of your guests.
What's that?
Would you at least take some pictures? I want it to go real, real bad on this thing. And hello?
You don't want to ask in front of my guests.
I don't want to ask in front of your... Well, I don't want to pour out my... I mean, my financial status, you were saying about putting into the system and to make the economy better, but my financial status is like something out of Diagnosis Murder or something. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. I'm barely keeping my phone service on. And I just wanted to know if you wouldn't mind taking some pictures for me or something.
Well, of course, we'll take pictures.
I wanted
to be at that thing.
Tony,
I have motion sickness very, very severely, and if I would have won that trip, I still would have gone. Jenna and me would have gone.
Yeah.
I might even have something a lot more serious than motion sickness. I don't know what it is, but and I would have gone. That's how badly, because of the people that are going to be on there.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to know, I also kind of wanted to ask yesterday if you could explain to me a little bit what they mean. They dropped the Super Soap Weekends for financial reasons and thought that this would be more economical of the crew.
Well, because Super Soap Weekend is
they got to fly and accommodate everyone.
Super Soap Weekend is sponsored by a different company, and I'm most positive the sponsor pulled out, which was Colgate Total, and so whatever reasons, I mean, we'll never know exactly what reasons. I mean, they're saying it might be financial. Nobody actually definitively said, yeah, okay, we pulled out because of money. what Bob was saying is that they're trying to make everything more economical for everyone as far as this cruise is concerned. When they, who knows how far in advance they planned this cruise?
Uh-huh.
They planned it a long, long, long time ago, and you know, before the economy went down into the pot completely, you know, and now they're trying to make up for that. I mean, he's trying to say that they're trying to help everybody. You know, if you got a group of people together and you referred 10 people and they referred 10 people, you got $500 off the cruise. So that would kind of take off a little bit of the burden. And you'd be spending 3 days on a ship with 23 of your favorite stars. And
you're
never,
going, Joanne, correct?
From all three networks.
You're going,
from all three networks. Yes, I'm going. And I'll be taking pictures and I'll be reporting on it and stuff like that. So, I mean, no, not everybody can go. Not everybody can afford to go. If I wasn't getting it as a birthday present, I wouldn't be able to afford to go. But what he's saying is, you know, just because
Christmas
you can't go.
Christmas present did wonders for me.
Huh?
Christmas present did wonders for me with Broadway Cares.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That, I wouldn't have been going.
Tony Ann's going to Broadway Cares in March. So she'll be reporting on that. And
yeah.
So, I mean, everybody's suffering. There's nobody. I mean, I went to the grocery store with a million coupons just so I didn't have to spend so much money. Everybody is feeling it. There's nobody on the planet that's not feeling it, you know, in one way or another. It may not hurt as many people the same way it's hurting the others. Like, it might not be hurting me the way it's hurting you or hurting Brandon or hurting Tony or whatever, but everybody's hurting in some fashion. So, I mean, so when I said you got to spend money to make the economy go around, it's actually true. Am I right?
No, you're right. I agree with you. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm maxed out on four of my major cards.
I don't even own a card. I don't own a credit card. If I don't have money, I don't buy it. If I don't have the cash to pay for something, I don't buy it. So if I go to the store and my kid wants something and I got $20 and I know I got to buy milk, bread, eggs, and orange juice and my son wants something extra, I have to calculate every single penny because I don't have a credit card to put things on. I don't use credit cards because they're bad for you. They're bad like candy's bad for your teeth. If I don't have the cash, I don't buy it. It's as simple as that.
If I didn't have a credit card, I wouldn't be going to the store at all because I live on a disability check.
That's what I'm saying. It's different for everybody. It's different in my way, and it's different in your way. So, I mean, one way or the other, everybody's suffering from the economy. So, bottom line, Bob said, no, you might not be able to go now, but you know what? There is going to be another cruise next year. So, this is the time where you start putting away those extra little pennies every chance you can. And then you could probably go next year. Simple, you know. I mean, it's not a task that can't be done if it's thought out, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Brandon, Tony.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, right here, definitely. Absolutely agree. Everybody's easy to own. They say, if you can afford it, go. Then if you can't afford, then wait till next year.
That's it. Simple as that.
Well, I didn't want you to think that I was boycotting it, or you know I wouldn't boycott this cruise.
No, not at all. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I just want you to understand that, I mean, although you're suffering in a way financially, you're not alone. I'm sure everybody on this phone can tell a financial story of the way that they're suffering. You know, it might not be the same as yours, or mine might not be the same as Tony's or other Tony's or Brandon's, but somebody's suffering somewhere. You know, so it's not like you're not alone, put it that way. Anyhow, guys, this is great. We got 1 minute left. I'm going to end the show with saying make sure everybody comes back Monday for Kimberly McCullough, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And if there's any other shows scheduled for that week, I'll announce them on Monday. And don't forget about Brandon's show, Brandon's Buzz, on Wednesday, the 14th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll leave it at that. Okay, guys, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Thanks for coming in.
Tomorrow?
Thank you very much, buddy.
Tomorrow.
Come on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Monday. Have a good weekend.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
You have a beautiful weekend. Thanks for letting me in.
I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.